also at a different time this time last
week. Okay, we'll have the council come back to order, please. Thank you all for your patience. We just needed to take a break. And let's get back to the calendar in order, which means 454.
Okay. Adopt the fiscal year 2014-15 spring supplemental budget and make other budget-related changes.
So this is the second reading, but I understand there's some council discussion in order.
Thank you, Mayor. If I may propose an amendment, and if we could then take testimony on the amendment without discussing it, so that I've got some folks who are here but have to get to a doctor's appointment. Okay. So my amendment, which is titled to Council Item 460, but it's not, it's Council Item 454, it's to add two limited-term positions and increase bureau expenses in the general fund for Portland Parks and Recreation by $22,500 for tree code implementation. It amends Exhibit 1 through 5 as appropriate. This additional appropriation will result in a decrease in general fund contingency.
I will second the amendment.
Okay. Then let's take testimony on the proposed amendment, and then I want to call up Andrew Scott and the budget staff to respond as well. So who do we have signed up?
I did not set up a sign-up sheet for the
same
amendment.
Same folks who just came up before. Okay. Come
Minus
on, Meryl.
One who had to go teach a class.
All right.
You're free to talk about police accountability,
yeah.
Trees,
yeah.
Or,
anything.
You could have had two shots at us instead of just one, but here you are.
EDC's economic development strategy, whatever you think.
Yeah. Okay. May I start?
Please, Meryl.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. My name is Meryl Riddish. I reside at 1918. Okay. I'm here on behalf of the Urban Forestry Commission. I serve as chair, and I'm here to request that the council and Mayor Hales support two full-time positions that would be housed in urban forestry, and here is why. The new tree code went into effect January 2nd, 2015, and the budget request that Commissioner Fritz and that was approved by you was a good step and provided the city forester and her staff with the resources to make excellent progress in all areas, especially customer service. Along with BDS staff, she has also worked to develop a new mitigation schedule, create training protocols, develop programmatic permit requirements, and develop communication materials for industry and the general public. After 5 months of tracking the new code, we see that additional personnel are absolutely required if we are to ensure the deliverables that were promised to the public. And those deliverables include providing excellent and prompt customer service, protecting large, healthy trees, and guaranteeing a fair and equitable allocation of resources to all Portland residents. At present, the average daily tree tech workload is 24 hours, far more than two people can handle. In fact, since implementation happened, a third temporary person has worked nearly full-time alongside the two permanent staff in order to keep up with the demand. During this brief period, the workload has also been modest. The volume is expected to increase as more people learn about tree regulations, and summer typically sees increased building permit activity, and winter storms bring more tree emergencies, which easily triples the call volume. The other position, so that was the first position, tree tech, the other position will be at a supervisory level with responsibilities that include overseeing the implementation of the new code, managing education and outreach staff, and leading in the development and execution of a new urban forest management plan. This position would also serve to implement the urban canopy goals and strategies defined in the Comp and Portland plans, watershed management, and climate action plan. I believe that by employing an additional person with strong science credentials would help with effects of climate change and serve to integrate all of the other bureau activities. I don't see that we have a picture of these three giant sequoia trees. I went out yesterday to a southeast Portland neighborhood and took a photo of three easily 80 to 100-foot giant sequoia trees. The current code allows these trees to be removed, and much to my chagrin, the builder will pay a puny $1,200 per tree in lieu of in mitigation fees. So one example of what the supervisory and this additional personnel staff could do was track and quantify the loss of canopy. And even with the new code, there are flaws in the code. We need to track and figure out where the corrections need to be made, and this is something that could be done with additional personnel. I'd finish by saying this is the time to increase the degree to which trees and their benefits are central to the habitual thinking and therefore the decision-making of all city planners. It's the time to improve upon the work that created such places as the central city's iconic park blocks and to ensure the equitable distribution of the urban forest and its benefits throughout the city for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald, and I'm the past president of Southwest Neighborhoods, a coalition of 17 neighborhood associations and three business associations in Southwest Portland. I wanted to personally thank Mayor Hales for many of the back-to-basics proposals in the budget proposal issued yesterday. But today I'm here to advocate for one that was not in there, which is Commissioner Fritz's amendment in support of implementing the tree code. Sweeney has been concerned about the loss of trees due to infill development over the years, and we actually initiated the discussions that led to the adoption of the tree policy in 2011. Every tree that's removed impacts our neighborhood's sense of livability. New developments, especially in areas which with large treed lots that result in fewer trees and more impervious surfaces, negatively impact stormwater in the most stormwater-constrained areas of the city. We need the city's technical assistance, particularly when dealing with trees that are down during the wind and ice storms and other natural disasters. Commissioner Fritz's proposal to fund two positions for implementing the tree code is needed to assure that people understand the new requirements and make it easy to comply. We're concerned that if residents don't understand the rules, don't get the help that they need quickly, they won't comply. We need these positions to educate the citizens to preserve and enhance our tree canopy citywide. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
If you need to go, Marianne, that's fine.
Yes.
My name is Mary McMurray. This is the first time I've spoken at a city council meeting, and I thank you for the opportunity. I'm a grandmother. My family, children, and grandchildren live here in Portland. Working through my architectural color and design business, I've followed my calling to make built environments more beautiful and livable. I've been fortunate to consult on the improvements of over 3,000 buildings of every description in Portland. But it isn't only the architectural treasures which make our place remarkable in all of the United States. Portland is famous for trees. I will never forget my first view of Portland from an airplane 25 years ago. It was so green, the whole city floating in a living, breathing oasis. From years of living in Manhattan and the California Bay Area, I was used to the grit and urban desert created by relentless paving and overdevelopment. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, but it only took a few days here to confirm that love at first sight was a real experience of big, amazing trees. Bird songs from tree dwellers that I'd never heard in a city before, green and glowing light through leaves patterning an old house. But we're not here for poetry today. Today we must take strong actions to protect and maintain our urban forest, which is falling tree by tree at an unprecedented speed. The explosion in property development has brought a surplus to the city budget. Last week, a city official advocated hiring 33 new employees to speed up the permitting process for new buildings. However, the pace of growth is happening too fast for popular support. Every newspaper I read contains letters and articles expressing outrage on this subject, such as this one, quote, "It feels like the public in Portland is at the mercy of the developers, and that whether we want the type of housing being created so rapidly is of no importance," unquote. Please note that the budget surplus is being created at the expense of trees. In my neighborhood, established trees on properties are clear-cut by developers who pay only a few hundred dollars into the tree fund. However, the removal of established trees results in a net loss of stormwater absorption, loss of habitat for birds, and loss of the beauty we need to make life more than grinding survival. What is the real cost of losing a tree? The mitigation fees charged for tree removal must be raised above the cap of $1,200 to encourage smarter and more creative design in proposed developments without sacrificing trees. We need to fund more staff to carry out the work of urban forestry and implement the tree code. It's up to us to carry forward the legacy of citizens who had the foresight to plant a forest in what was then known as Stumptown. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate you. This is making your first trip here. Hope you come back. One quick note about the budget, by the way, just for your future reference. Although the amount of development going on does put a lot more money into our system development charge funds that do things like pay for new parks, the general fund surplus that we have mostly comes from the general business increase in Portland, business profits, doesn't very little to do with development, and hotel, motel, room taxes.
Okay,
so that's
great.
Most of where this general fund surplus has come from. It's not really come from development, although, again, development is putting a lot of money in the bank for future parks and future transportation projects.
Thank you.
Let me also say, as the Arts Commissioner, we welcome poetry as part of any testimony.
Uh-huh. That's always a good idea.
Don't scrimp on the poetry.
Yeah. No, you should.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, others that want to speak on this item? So let me call up Andrew and perhaps Ryan or Claudio as needed, because you were mentioning there were some vacancies. I'm not sure how many vacancies there are, but let's, because this is not a question of whether we're going to enforce the tree code or not. The question is whether the Bureau needs additional funding for the 6 weeks remaining in this year to fund positions. And then we can we will debate and discuss whether the Bureau needs more positions and more funding for the next fiscal year budget. So what's the situation with respect to vacancies?
So thank you, Mayor. Andrew Scott, City Budget Director. So we were asked to just sort of look at what the vacancy situation is within parks. And within City Nature, I believe there are about 8 vacant positions in City Nature, which have yielded about $320,000 in savings. Now, those are not tree code positions per se. There are other positions within City Nature. But again, the tree code enforcement is located within that overall division. And I guess, Mayor, I would just... In general, and this is in the City Budget Office review of both the bump request and also the budget request, our major concern about the tree code program in general has been the rapid growth of the program, and particularly the general fund subsidy. When looking at the original estimates when this was being drafted, you know, back in 2010, to the requested budget in 2015-16, we've seen about a 36% growth in the staff estimated to enforce the tree code, and about a 350% growth in the general fund cost of implementing the tree code. So, again, our recommendations, both in the bump and the budget, were that parks look to internal realignments, and maybe at some of these vacancy savings or other places, to deal with any short-term workloads. And we recommended that council take another look at the tree code and whether there are ways to simplify it in order to keep the overall implementation costs down.
So if they have 8 vacant positions right now, I'd like to hear a little bit more about what's being done to fill those positions and with whom. And then secondly, what's happened to that foregone payroll? Is it compensation set aside? Does it roll up in that part of the budget? I assume if they haven't spent the money, it's there. Where is it?
I'm going to defer to Parks on the specifics about the positions. Again, we do know that those vacancies in City Nature generated some savings. Overall, the Parks Bureau requested and is receiving about $500,000 in compensation set aside in this budget, which again is within sort of the Parks Bureau allocation. But I think that shows that overall the salary savings that occurred in City Nature were being offset somewhere else from other activities. But again, I would need to defer to Parks on the specifics.
Andrew, the mayor said the option is to take this up now or take this up during the regular budget or not take this up, I guess. So if we adopt this amendment, what would be the subsequent ask for the next fiscal year for 1 year of salary and benefits?
I believe it's $270,000. Is that right, Commissioner? Yeah.
So is there, I don't know if someone from Parks want to come tell us about the vacant positions and what the situation is there, and then what's happened with comp set aside.
Jeff Schaefer, Parks Finance Manager. So we have 7 vacant positions. The 8th is actually one we cut in the spring bump, but there are 7 vacant positions, and as a Bureau, we are actually projecting that we may be over budget or very close to balancing. That's why it was critical that we added this into the spring bump. So those positions are temporarily vacant and not being filled in order to help vacancy savings within the Bureau to help balance at the the overall Bureau level, not just one department.
Are those ongoing positions or limited term?
They're all ongoing.
So they roll up into the new year as vacant, right?
Yes.
So you have seven unfilled positions that are funded 6 weeks from now at the beginning of the new fiscal year?
Correct.
Okay. So I guess my plea, Commissioner, would be if that's the situation of the Bureau, if the Bureau's got seven unfilled positions, should request compensation set aside if we need it. But if you intend to fill those two positions with more people to work on the tree code, they're already funded. You got seven funded vacant positions, right?
They're not intended to work on the tree code.
Well, so what are they intended to do?
They're intended to be, there are other departments within our City Nature program that we're actually holding vacant right now because of other departments that we are overspending on the budget.
Right, but they won't be overspending on July 1, right, because they're starting a new year.
Correct.
There's various parts of the tree code, and the open forestry program. We're currently heavily dependent on community service assistance. So the two people who are working in the Permit Bureau on two different levels are assisted by community service assistance. They are not represented. They are temporary. They make $11 an hour to $13 an hour. And they are the people who are answering very technical, complicated questions about the tree code. And it would be better to have a person who is compensated fairly, receives city benefits, who is full-time ongoing. Second of all, I've heard from many of my colleagues a request to do more policy work on the tree code. And the second position is to get started on that.
Well, yeah, we can debate this for a while here. Thank you, Jeff. I just, my sense is if some other bureau, for example, I want the police bureau to do more in foot patrols, we can reclassify positions and reassign work in order to do that rather than hiring more police officers. My position would be if you got seven vacant positions, if we need to reclassify some of those into higher salary categories in order to do the work, that'd be my first choice. And that's a pretty significant number of vacant positions being held over budget after budget.
And I just wanted to clarify that we're holding those only for the temporary short term because of revenue shortfalls and other areas within the Bureau.
Right.
They're still dedicated frontline core positions, such as like new acquisitions that we just brought on. We get O&M for those brand new natural areas that we buy. And then we may have a vacant position that we don't hire right away. We wait until 7-1 until we actually bring on that body to actually take care of that new service.
Can I just seek a clarification on something? So I think the council is generally supportive of implementing the tree code. The question is, what does that mean? And what's the right amount of staffing? And what's the current challenge? If this amendment is not successful today, just so I understand next steps, this issue comes back to us in the regular budget if Commissioner Fritz wants to put it on the table. And I take it from your comments that you're indicating that you'd want to know multiple strategies for funding a position if there's a case to be made.
Correct.
Both in terms of vacancy, existing vacancies, funded positions, and new money. And that would be part of our discussion to the regular budget.
Correct. That'd be my hope. Okay. Further questions for staff? Okay. Then let's take a roll call on the amendment, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
No.
Novick?
I'm torn on this because Commissioner Fritz did warn us, whatever it was, a year or so ago, that she thought that what we were allocating for implementation of the tree code was inadequate. And I am one of the colleagues that have suggested making some modifications to the actual tree code. For one thing, I was rather appalled to discover that you have to seek a permit for pruning a branch in excess of one quarter of an inch in diameter. And that does, I mean, I was somewhat embarrassed to realize that I voted for the tree code without noticing that. And it seems like there are some modifications that need to be made. And Commissioner Fritz says that in order to make modifications, he needs an additional policy person. I would hope that we can make some modifications without that. I think that if we adopted this amendment, we'd essentially be saying that we need to fund these positions in the next budget. So I'm reluctant to jump to that. We're in the middle of the budget process. So I'm going to vote no, but with the caveat that I think this should be a continuing discussion over the next few weeks. No.
Fritz.
Commissioner Novick, I very much appreciate that willingness to look at the big picture. Obviously, since we won't get these positions funded likely, we won't be able to do the policy work. I'm happy to have the continuing conversation as part of the budget process. I heartily dislike being the commissioner in charge of paying people $11 an hour. Aye.
Hales?
I voted for the tree code, but I want to say this real clearly. If we overdid it in terms of the level of regulation, I'm very interested in calibrating it backwards to something that we can afford to do and that the public can understand. And if we're not there, then I'm prepared to go there. But I don't want to pre-fund more positions, particularly when we've got vacancies in the Bureau. No. Okay. Anything further on the spring bump itself? Anyone else want to testify on the remainder? No, we can't. A second reading. So roll call on the spring bump itself.
Fish?
Thank you, Andrew, and you're moving around. A moving target today. Thanks to you and your team for the excellent work that you do, bringing the council along on the budget. And frankly, I was so impressed with the efficient way that we address this the bump issues through work sessions that I'm pleased that we'll be having a work session now on the annual budget, because I think that's an important innovation. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
There are some very important items funded in this supplemental budget that I strongly support, particularly the extension of the women's shelter capacity to year-round and the marijuana permitting program in ONI. I'm glad to see that latter in the mayor's ongoing budget for one-time budget for next year. I'm very glad the mayor has taken the lead on the off-road cycling master plan, and I wish you well with that process. And I am also very much appreciate that the discussion that we've had and the commitment to have an ongoing one. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, I proposed a budget yesterday, which we'll all be working on, and I got to tell a story which I think when we're talking about the credibility of government, you have to be able to say things again and again and again and for them always to be true. And I was able to say and completely believe that this council has been consistently prudent and has followed good advice like we get from our independent council budget office in how we manage people's money. And over the last 3 years of our work together, or 2.5 years, three budgets, we have been able to show people that when we have extra money, we pay off debt or invest in basic infrastructure. Your leadership, Commissioner Fritz, on our new policy on spending one-time resources on capital investment. I think the public is watching us carefully, starting to believe that we mean it. And I think that's a really good improvement in the relationship between our government and the citizens at a time when maybe sometimes we are criticized for actions that don't even happen here, but might happen in Congress or someplace. So the more consistently clear and good managers we are in how we manage people's money, I think the better the relationship with our citizens. And this smaller piece of work is just one more sign of that. So, Andrew, to you and your team, thank you, as always, for good counsel. Aye.